Every 3 seconds, a girl under the age of 18 is married somewhere in the world, usually without her consent and often to a much older man. Forced marriage is one of the biggest threats to the health and safety of girls around the world today and one of the biggest abuses of their human rights. My name is Megan Lackey and you are listening to The War on Women here on TWR UK. On this series, we unpack some of the biggest issues facing girls and women around the world and ask what we as Christians and followers of a just and loving God can be doing to stop these things. In a moment, we'll hear from Tracy Shields, Child Rights Programme Advisor for the Christian charity World Vision. She'll share with us what some of the issues surrounding child marriage are, and we'll discuss how we can see change when it comes to the issue of forced marriage. Here's a short snippet of what she'll share with us.
If you think of two girls that you know in your life, if they're in Malawi, it's likely that one of them will be married before the age of 18. It's very culturally entrenched. A lot of the community members that I spoke to, youth, young girls, young boys, were explaining that at the onset of puberty, it is more of an expectation that you will be leaving school and getting married.
Before that, though, I wanted to briefly explain what early forced marriage is. Nyaradzai Gumbonsvanda, the head of the World Young Women's Christian Association, addressed the Human Rights Council on this issue in 2014. She said child early and forced marriage is a combination of the multiple violations of the rights of girls. It's about poverty, discrimination and exclusion. It is violence against women and girls, abuse, rape and exploitation. Forced marriage is abduction. It is illegal, immoral and an unacceptable, harmful practice. Essentially, this practice is when a child, that is a person under the age of 18, is forced into a marriage that they have had no say in. Very often it happens when girls are sold off and most commonly young girls are married to much older men. The following is a story of a young girl named Kalindi who experienced forced marriage as a child in Malawi. This story was taken from the website Girls Not Brides and was provided by the Human Rights Watch. TWR UK producer Lauren Hurd reads this testimony for us now.
I am 23 years old and my husband is 30. I married when I was 15. I have two children, aged 9 and 18 months. I did not want to marry, but I agreed because of poverty at home. During the marriage ceremony, I was told to respect my husband and never to deny him sex. I was told to bear it when I get problems, because that is how marriages are. I found life very difficult after marriage. I was a small girl, and I did not know anything about marriage. One time, my stomach started getting bigger, and I was having severe headaches. I was so scared. I did not know what was happening. I went to the hospital, and that is when the nurse told me I was 5 months pregnant. I am not happy in my marriage because my husband goes away without leaving food. My husband also beats me and is a womanizer. When my husband comes back from other women and wants sex, I just accept because he is my husband. We do not use condoms because he already infected me with HIV. I want to leave the marriage, but I am waiting for the right time to leave. Marriage is not good for girls. There is no happiness. I want change for girls, and that is why I want my story to be heard by all girls out there thinking of marriage.
Clearly a traumatic experience for any child to go through. So why does this happen? Well, for many, it's a case of honour. Many cultures believe that an unmarried girl is a dangerous one, that the longer a girl goes unmarried, the more chance she has of having sex outside of marriage and so bringing dishonour on the family. This means that in many cultures, as soon as a girl reaches puberty, she is married off. In addition to this, poverty plays a massive part. For many families who have multiple children, selling off their daughters to be married seems like a good way to earn some money. To some, they also believe that in giving their daughter away to be married, the girl will actually be safer or better off. Sadly, though, this is very rarely true. I'm joined now by Tracy Shields, Child Rights Programme Advisor for World Vision. I began by asking her what kind of risks a girl faces if she is forced into marriage at an early age.
A girl who's been forced into marriage at such a young age, an adolescent age, there's a violation of so many of her rights as a young girl and as an adolescent. Education, child brides are often removed from school, denying their right to education, which could increase their earnings when they leave education, which could help rise them out of poverty. Health is obviously a huge issue. Pregnancy, a lot of child brides obviously find themselves pregnant very soon after being married. Being young means that they can suffer really dangerous complications in childbirth. And in fact, pregnancy and childbirth complications for young girls are some of the leading causes of death within girls aged between 50 and 19 in developing countries. And in fact, if you're a child bride who is giving birth, you're 5 times more likely to die in childbirth as well. Violence, there's an increased risk of domestic violence, of sexual abuse and assault. Young girls who are married are more likely to come from impoverished households. They're more likely to stay in that cycle of poverty, unable to break out of it. And inequality, so being married young means that you still will have little say in your life, in your livelihood, in your household. So this persistent issue of inequality will also be pervasive in their lives.
And just how prevalent is this problem?
So estimates at the moment are that 15 million girls each year are actually married before the age of 18, which sounds like a really huge number. So to break it down, that's basically 1 in every 3 girls under the age of 18.
Now, I know that you have experience talking about this issue with faith leaders in Malawi. Could you just tell us a little about your experiences there and what the feeling towards the practice is there?
Sure. So I was in Malawi in September last year, actually. Malawi is in the top 10 countries with the highest rate of child marriage. And the statistics there are 50% of girls are married, so before the age of 18, 1 in every 2 girls. If you think of 2 girls that you know in your life, if they're in Malawi, it's likely that one of them will be married before the age of 18. It's very culturally entrenched. A lot of the community members that I spoke to, youth, young girls, young boys, were explaining that at the onset of puberty, it is more of an expectation that you will be leaving school and getting married.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to The War on Women here on TWR UK. We're talking today about the practice of child marriage and looking at the fact that every 3 seconds, a young girl somewhere in the world is forced into an early marriage. I'm speaking to Tracy Shields of World Vision, and we've already discussed her experiences on the ground in Malawi and how this is a practice that is so heavily culturally ingrained that it is often quite difficult to combat. However, there is hope and people are working for change on this issue. Next, I asked Tracy if she had any inspiring stories to share with us about girls she's worked with through World Vision who have worked to try and change their own future when it comes to child marriage.
In Malawi, there was an incredible girl, actually, who her parents had both died, was an orphan living with her grandmother and had been removed from the education system. And she, through some of our work, became aware of her rights. We'd also worked with the church there who were more aware of child protection rights and child protection issues, and she went to her Catholic priest actually to speak about the fact that she'd been removed from school and how she wanted to get back into the education system, and he helped facilitate conversations with her family to make sure she was back into school. And she was sort of so proud to be back and just talking about her ambitions of the future and what she wanted to do when she grew up. I work with some incredible kids in Sierra Leone who formed a children's club. Through the children's club, they actually advocated with their community to raise a bylaw to outlaw child marriage in their community, which was passed, which was incredible, having adults listening to children passing this, you know, local level legislation. There are only 2 stories I can give you, countless, from Nepal and India, Tanzania. I think the child protection work that World Vision is doing to try and combat issues such as child marriage just provides so many inspiring stories of children around the world.
Those are amazing stories. Thank you very much for sharing those with us. Now, one of the new Sustainable Development Goals is to see child marriage ended by 2030. What do you think needs to happen in order to achieve that?
I mean, it's brilliant that it is in the goals in the first place. Obviously, ending child marriage wasn't in the Millennium Development Goals, but now it's actually the journey to try and make sure that child marriage doesn't exist within this generation. But it can't be words alone, so it needs to be more action. So the UK government, it's really important now that it's made international commitments on child marriage, that it continues to fulfil these commitments for the duration of the 15 years until 2030. And of course, it's not just our own governments. Lots of other governments are being now held to account in ending child marriage in their countries. And they need to continue to speak out against child marriage, to continue to make legislation that's outlawing child marriage in their countries, and then also to make sure that this kind of legislation feeds down to communities. It's not enough just to have legislation. You must have the legislation which actually is enacted. So that means in communities that people are brought to account if children are married under the age of 18.
Now, what kind of role do faith leaders have to play in tackling forced marriage?
World Vision, as a Christian and a child-focused agency, we really believe that faith leaders of all types are absolutely integral and critical in not only ending child marriage practices, but any kind of child protection issues. Within our child protection work, they are an integral catalyst and actor to the work that we do. We've just recently finished some research through Nepal and Uganda. We were looking at changes in child marriage in communities. And in both of those contexts, really diverse, it showed that faith leaders were really important societal and community gatekeepers to start having a conversation about ending child marriage and to be key people who are upholding that value within the community so that the community gathers around their faith leaders and also starts to accept, you know, ending child marriage. Within their remit as faith leaders, they need to be acting on this within their communities. They need to be making sure the children who are coming to their congregations are kept safe from child marriage, from child labour, from sexual abuse, from assault. It's very simple things, you know, saying, faith leaders just say, well, no, I'm not marrying a child who is under 18 if they come to my congregation to get married. Or saying, if you were getting married in my church, you require a birth certificate. You need proof that you are over the age of 18. Baptisms, when you're having a child being baptism, requiring a birth certificate from baptism, which therefore means that child has a source of identity and proof of age for the rest of their life. Inviting children and parents both together to sermons, speaking publicly about child marriage, going from household to household, talking to vulnerable households about child marriage. Seeing all of this stuff in action just to me really cements how important faith leaders are both in the community and in tackling these issues.
Just to finish, could you offer us some points for prayer on this issue?
Would love to. Look, during the course of our conversation, for every minute that we've spoken, 28 girls have been married. I would ask people to pray for that fact, to pray for the fact that during the course of listening to me, there have been numerous girls who have been robbed of their childhood and forced into marriage. Pray for the faith leaders and the communities that World Vision works with, that they have the strength to turn the tide on such strong culturally entrenched issues in their communities, and that both they and their congregation welcome the changes. And I'd also like the people to offer prayer for my incredible World Vision colleagues, actually, who are on the ground, who day to day walk alongside faith leaders, communities and children to make sure children are protected.
That was Tracy Shields, Child Rights Programme Advisor for World Vision, talking to me about the practice of child marriage and how this affects girls around the world. She gave us some vital points for prayer there that I hope you will take on board. We must remember that this forced child marriage is not God's design for marriage, and therefore we must be vocal in our opposition to it as Christians. Remember that the Lord loves each of these girls with the heart of a father, and to see this happening to them must infuriate them. We need to speak out, and we need to speak up, for those who are voiceless and downtrodden. As with many of the topics we've discussed on this series, it's a difficult one, but in making girls aware of their human rights, in trying to help girls stay in school, in addressing the underlying causes of poverty so that no family has to sell their daughter off to survive, and in ensuring appropriate legislation is put in place and enforced, I do believe we can see an end to this awful practice within my lifetime. What do you think? Do you have any opinions on anything you've heard today? If so, I'd love for you to get in touch. You can email me at studio@twr.org.uk, or you can connect with TWR UK on Facebook or Twitter. I really do love hearing from you, so please, if you have any thoughts or questions, do let me know. Well, that's all we've got time for on today's episode of The War on Women. My name is Megan Lackey. As always, thank you for joining me. I do hope you'll join me again next week when I'll be looking at poverty around the world and the kind of impact this has on the lives and experiences of girls and women. So do join me again at the same time next week here on TWR UK.
This podcast is a production of Transworld Radio UK. For more information, go to our website at twr.org.uk. UK.